Hello, good people, and welcome to, well, this is the penultimate episode of this season. It's episode 11. As usual, I'm Chris Shorten, with me is Jeffrey Chi.
G'day.
And Paul Christoph.
Hello.
And look, this week we are not at the Owl House, and that's mostly because I think, firstly, we've been there every single day, maybe for the past fortnight or so.
Basically, been there a lot.
Yeah. And
we're not sick of it. But, you know, just a little bit of a break.
Bit of a change.
It's also a Sunday afternoon, so we're not recording this at the usual time.
It's one of the first weekends that it's been sunny and over 20 for the entire day.
I know. And so instead, we're on the balcony of City Lane HQ. Yeah.
We are.
Which is a beautiful view across East Brunswick. And actually, the last episode, 11, was also, I think, on the rooftop.
I think it was. Yeah. That was the post Good Beer Week episode. Yeah, well, and this is the first time Paul has recorded an episode of the podcast on his own balcony.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we've stolen from his beer fridge.
We stole so much stuff the last time we did.
Oh,
it was awesome.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he came back to pretty much nothing in the entire house.
Nothing.
Yeah. Anyway, we've digressed. So, Beer Ventures this week. So, it's been a busy week, but not in terms of drinking. But for me, I went to the launch of, in Melbourne, there's this new bar that's opened up, and it's what they call a basement bar, which was
is that just literal?
No, it is actually in a basement.
That's what I meant. Yeah, okay.
Yes, of course. Anyway, and so I went there, and you know, thinking about beer, because we always think about beer, and it was quite an eclectic mix, because it had like, you know, it had your usual faces, but then on top of that, there was people like Young Henry's was on tap, and that I did speak with the PR person, and she said, yeah, we've got a few New South Wales beers on there. And I thought, I didn't see any modus operandi, which I feel like would have been a nice step as well. But it's nice to see sort of, you know, Victorian bars are traditionally, you know, they have Victorian beers and a couple of internationals, but they don't have any of, like, you know, the New South Wales brewers don't tend to get a look in.
Well, I wonder if, because we also say we've seen Young Henry's at the Corner Hotel.
Mm.
It's another place where you wouldn't expect to see much craft beer.
Mm.
And then
then they've got Young Henry's. Oh, that's odd. And then this as well, it makes
and
me wonder
the,
if there's...
The Beaufort often have Young Henry's on tap as well, actually. Yeah. So I've seen them there. But you're right. Beyond that, though...
But maybe they've been bought by someone.
Maybe.
Young
maybe
Henry's,
really
if you're listening. I mean, I really like...
Maybe they just actually got a good business head about them.
Right, which is, I guess it's kind of rare, especially, well, it's not rare, but I feel like so many brewers, they're kind of artists at heart. And so, I know, that's always my take on things. But it also means artists aren't always great with, from
the
business
side.
And so I feel like that kind of holds back a lot of these people and holds back a lot of breweries, especially.
Definitely.
I mean, and that kind of segues into an interesting thing that we were talking about earlier about the Lagunitas. Is
that's the business sense.
Yeah, I mean, that's because it...
So for those who aren't aware, Heineken have now bought 50% of Lagunitas Brewery. And, you know, the internet, well, not the internet, but at least the craft beer bit of
the internet exploded.
Has just been set afire by discussion around, like, whether this is a good, bad, or indifferent idea, right? You know, not surprisingly, you had a reasonable number of people who came out and said, it's going to be rubbish now, they're just going to become, you know, just bland, normal, crappy beer, whereas other people are going like, well, if they're just giving them more scope to expand and better distribution and stuff, it can only be a good thing as long as they don't, you know, overly get involved in, you know, the actual brewing side of things. So it's actually an interesting question. I mean, you know, I personally don't think I would be any less likely to drink a Lagunitas beer just because I know it's 50% owned by Heineken. Like, that would be a little bit silly.
No, I think it's... And Heineken, Heineken.
Yeah,
and
they already make crappy beer. Why would they want to make more of it?
They've got that... They've got that market down pat. They clearly buying this to get a piece of the...
Yeah, they didn't buy another Heineken.
And I actually prefer it when, you know, if you're a massive brand, I'd rather, as opposed to other big beverage or food companies that we've seen where they start up their own, you know, I'm doing the old quotes here with my hands, craft brewery, try to hide that they're the ultimate owner and they make these generic beers. I'd much rather, you know, someone like Heineken, if they're going to get into the craft beer market, says, well, let's find a craft brewer that we like who... you know, we can get along with. And
which it's kind of like that in business they call it acquire or acquire, So it's basically you hire a load of people, and you do that by acquiring that entire company.
That's what Apple.
Yeah, that's what Apple do all the time. Yeah. And that's pretty much what Heineken have done. I mean, I was just so I actually screenshotted this, or I took the link of it the other day. It's Drunken Grizzly on Instagram is quite good. And he was, posted this picture, and it was basically half the Lagunitas beer coaster and half the Heineken beer coaster.
Yeah.
And then he sort of asked people what they all thought about the whole thing. And you've got all of this, like, people are really, really stupidly passionate about it. And it's just, it's interesting in the same way. It's sort of like if your, you know, if your favorite rock band suddenly does a commercial that all licenses their stuff, do they lose their indie cred because of it?
Yeah.
Or lose their cred before it?
I personally think the only, from pure like taste or flavour point of view, the only risk I see is that there's going to be nothing different than the first few years, but later on down the track, there's less experimentation. It's like you see a lot more of their core range being produced.
Yeah, there's more of a volume. Risky. And,
so
yeah.
They still make, you know, their core range beers will still be great, but yeah, there's going to be a lot less of the interesting stuff. Potentially, that's all I can really see the risk. I don't think, they're not going to become crap.
No. It'll be that risk of mass production equals, you know, less care.
Yeah, that's right. It's exactly what we were saying earlier. I mean, you know, why would they go and make Lagunitas make more money? Basically, it just doesn't add up.
And you've been able to get their beers around the world quite a bit. I was reading the same discussion on the Kansai craft beer group, so this group of like-minded people that I met when I was in Osaka, and they've got a Facebook group, so it's a mixture of sort of Japanese people and Western expats that now live in Kansai region, so sort of like Osaka, Kyoto, and that part of Japan, and the same discussion, and they were like, well, you know what, in Japan it's probably one of the most common US beers, craft beers that you can find.
Yeah,
like they've already been distributing things massively. They're not small. When we looked them up,
yeah,
something like one of the they're in like the top 100 like beer companies, and they're like one of the top, like sort of top five. Don't quote me on this. Craft beer companies,
sure.
But even beer in general, they were
one
of the few craft brewers that was actually up there. So they're a massive company.
Yeah, they're already big anyway. That's right. And I mean, that'd be another reason why they're attractive. Like they're not going to buy out some small microbrew with no volume capacity. Like that would not be any interest in them at all. But something that's already big, that's
synergies.
It's all synergies. So that's I think probably the big news for this week.
It's the deepest we're going to get tonight.
I know. Right. I was a little bit freaked out by it.
More economics.
No. All right. What else is news, people?
What else is news? Baking beers or post baking beers, I should say.
Post-baking beers. For those who don't know, the City Lane, obviously we mentioned last week, held our Nutella pop-up last week. Sorry.
Yesterday. But she's last week.
Yeah. Technically. it depends on the biblical calendar. Anyway. Sorry, go.
No, it was that was great. I mean, from a point of view of running a successful pop-up, we sold through everything in the first 4 hours.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
If we hadn't restricted people to one box per person of what we were selling, we probably would have sold out an hour and a half, I think. Everybody chipped in. It was a great job. It went very successfully. I think the only problem was that there was an underestimation of the effort that would be required to produce said products for boxes, which resulted in averaging 4 hours of sleep a night for most nights, apart from Friday night when there was literally no sleep.
But I guess what's more important is that after we'd finish up at the kitchen and we'd come back to City Lane headquarters,
we thought we need to have a beer or two.
Exactly. A hard-earned thirst needs a big cold beer.
We'll come back to that later,
Yeah.
But we got through quite a few.
So finally, because we're always down at the other house or somewhere else. I'm always buying beers because I'll go past slow beer on purpose. And then it goes in the cupboard and fit in, and I don't drink at home that often. So to drink a lot at home was
it's a bit of a
lot of
rarity,
beers went
it?
Through a lot of the stuff, did the old back of the pantry, back of the fridge sort of thing, and discovered those great beers. So I think probably one of the best beers that I had was the I can't remember. I think it was the Huon.
That's one. Yep.
They did an apple dark ale, an apple dark ale. So remember a couple of episodes ago, Chris and I were talking about the Reds, that apple beer, which was just shocking in every way.
Every way possible.
Every way possible. Yeah, it's more shocking than the most shocking thing you've seen. If BuzzFeed were to do an article like most shocking beers you've ever had, that would be on there. But
Sorry, Reds.
Or Coca-Cola.
I thought that was Carlton. No, it was Carlton.
Oh, Carlton, yeah. Weren't they? Coca-Cola is
Yakima.
Yender is awful.
No, the Yender's actually not awful. That's another thing. That's kind of what we were saying before. They start a craft beer brand. They're actually perfectly acceptable beers.
I don't like Yender's work.
But anyway, beyond that. So apple beer. Now, I see this beer, and it's a small brewer, I think, or they're an apple orchard, and they've started doing beers, and they're from Tasmania, and it's like, okay, this is interesting. I have to try this apple beer. And they had a few, so I went for this dark ale because it just looked like the most interesting of the... I think it was two beers and two ciders they had there. And what they do, it was... I can't remember exactly what it was, but I think they brew a beer, and then they add a whole bunch of apple juice to it, like actual apple juice, and then they brew it again, and then they added some champagne yeast or something to it, and then brewed it again. So it kind of goes through like a triple distillation sort of brewing process. And anyway, we drank it, and the first thing we thought of, sour ale.
Yeah.
And it was very sour, but it was like a Belgian-style sour ale that had the definite notes of apple, and it was like... It answered our question a few weeks ago. Is it possible to do a good apple beer that literally uses apple juice?
And that thing knocked it out of the park, really.
It was a really, really nice beer.
Really
So that was my...
So 2 Minutes Tall Brewing is who...
2 Minutes Tall Brewing.
Mm.
Yeah, who makes... So the Huon's the name of the beer. It's always hard to tell. Because the Huon was huge on the bottle, right? So I'd like you had assumed that was the brewery.
Yeah.
Yeah, but so there you go.
2 Minutes Tall Farmhouse.
Yeah. 2 Minutes Tall Farmhouse Ale and Cider.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. But, if you see them around, check out their beers. And I'm interested to try their ciders as well, because I do like a good cider too. Coming in summer, perfect.
Good point.
So that was, my favourite of the several post-baking beers that were had tonight, this week. It's been a long week.
We said that last week.
We said that on Monday.
And
it's
Tuesday.
Now the end of the...
We said that every single
end
day.
Of the, it's end of the 7 days of it's been a long week.
Yeah, I think for me, I had one night off baking, which was Tuesday night, and I had my cousin in town, who's also a craft beer drinker. I think she's the only other one in the family who's a craft beer drinker, so we get along very well. And so we had some dinner, and we were up in Coburg, so we went to the Woodlands Bar, which is, an excellent craft beer venue, just at the southern end of Coburg. And as it turns out, it was both trivia night, which we didn't participate in because we got there at the end of it, but it was also half price beers. Which I didn't even know about, right?
No,
so
that's
maybe
always a win.
If only there was a paper-based publication that told us about craft beer things that were happening that I could read, but that's a story for another day. The point is, though, I walked in there and I ordered two of the Red Hill Scotch Ale and one of the Moondog Splice of Life IPA.
I do like that.
That's
and it cost me $9.25. Now, I'm used to paying $9.25
for one beer.
And so I had to ask the guy several times how much it was, because I had the credit card out ready to pay with, and I thought, that's just going to be a bit embarrassing. I'm actually just going to have to pay cash for this one. So, it would totally blew me away. And
quiz and half-price craft beers.
Half-price craft beers.
On a night where we generally don't have anything.
Correct. You know, why haven't we been there yet?
Because I don't...
Because
this is a revelation for me.
It's weird that you would do half-price beers on trivia. Have you ever noticed, like, food specials and trivia nights don't tend to coexist? Because trivia nights...
Trivia is the attraction.
You don't need something else to get people in. But, kudos to the Woodlands for combining two great things.
Well, I think one of the... on a Tuesday, maybe in October, I think I will be there.
Yeah, we should totally do it.
Good stuff.
Yeah, it seemed like good trivia too. Questions all seemed quite, the one round of answers that I heard were all good questions. So, it was good.
Well, there we go.
Okay.
Alrighty.
Distracted.
One more thing. We're going to do something a little bit different. So.
Here we go.
So this is a new segment of Dime Coin, what I found at the back of my fridge. And this one's a kind of a different thing where... So what I'm looking at right now is a Ballarat Bitter. And Ballarat Bitter was one of those things that, I reckon about 8 years ago or so, there used to be a brewery in Ballarat, which is my hometown in Victoria, Australia. And so that they used to make, obviously, the Ballarat Bitter, and it had quite iconic sort of signage, and it's all over the city. And so apparently they had this like really unique recipe and everything. And so when the CUB actually, I think they bought the recipe or they bought something along those lines, and then that they reissued it maybe 8 years ago, everyone bought up a load of slabs of it. I totally forgot that I bought up a load of slabs of it. So let's see, I think it was about a month and a half ago, I was at my parents' house, and they said to me, oh, Chris, we want you to do something with this. And I didn't even know what it was, and I was like, they gave me like two-thirds of a slab that clearly I hadn't finished the rest of this Ballarat bitter. So it's been in the bottom of the pantry for, you know, 8 years or so. I've been aging it.
Is this technically drinkable then? There's a can of it in front of us, just for the reference of people listening.
Look, I mean, the bigger question is, was it ever drinkable?
Sure, that's
maybe
an important...
it's better.
There's only one way to find out.
What that guy on the front tells us.
And I'm giving this to you guys first.
It's an interesting little logo, isn't it? It kind of looks like what Tintin would look like if he got old.
Yeah, it's an old Tintin.
Did Tintin ever get old? Or did he die? We never know.
Yeah, either that or it's Colonel Sanders after he's been on like some serious... like
Colonel Sanders
diet.
Has been dieting, yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Alrighty, boys, have a taste. They're sipping the can now.
That's... You could certainly drink it all. It doesn't actually taste that much. I was expecting a lot worse.
It tastes like an insipid red ale or something like that.
Yeah, like it's not bad.
It's holding up all right, isn't
it? Yeah, that's really surprising.
Has a pour.
That's still completely carbonated.
That's scary.
That is remarkable, isn't it? Jesus.
Mm. Yeah, that is full carbonation.
And here I was feeling like I was setting people up for a fall here, and I mean, there's nothing incredibly...
I'm going to say this probably tasted worse when it was new.
I would agree with that. So what we've learned here is that...
age bad beers for about a decade.
That's right, maybe it will become better. Well, the thing is...
I still have more of it.
Hey, we don't know what this tastes like.
We don't know.
You are the only person
and
who
I can't
any
for the
idea.
Life of
exactly.
me remember.
So there's only one person this table, and, you know... possibly through drinking too many of these, you don't remember what it tasted like. So,
it's an interesting twist of fate, isn't it?
It's interesting. It's very interesting.
Look, if we have any listeners in Ballarat out there who've been in this situation, hit us up on whatever social media you see fit, and let us know about if you still have an old one.
Let us know your Ballarat bitter stories.
Yeah, or if you can find a new one. I think they still make it every now and then. Hit it up and let us know. All right, we need to move on.
We do.
We do.
And we're back again, and we're on to beer number one. And I should just apologise that we're having a few microphone problems, and the disadvantage of being on level 6 is that there's a bit of wind noise as well. So apologies to everyone if that's kind of ruffled the... ears. Anyway, we'll try not to do it again. So now we're on to beer number one, and this one, look, I don't even know what this is, but what I do know is that Jeff spent a good few minutes getting the wax seal off.
Yeah, it's another one of these ones with the bloody wax seal on the cap, which I'm sure I've railed about this before, but I'm going to rail about it again, because I understand...
Rail away?
I understand that brewers... And it does. It looks cool. It looks cool to receive a bottle that has a wax seal on it. No,
it does.
Not disputing that at all. But it needs some sort of, like with cheese, when you, like, you tear the plastic strip and it, like, opens up and you just pull the thing off.
Yeah.
It needs the same thing. You need a little plastic tab that you just pull and then the wax seal just comes off. Because, you know... Yeah, I'd like basically Paul had to give me a knife, and I'd take a knife to this thing in order to get enough of the wax off so that I could then open it.
Which kind of breaks that rule of giving you a knife.
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
Do you really want people to have to use a knife to open beer?
Exactly. I mean, luckily, if you've only been drinking, and we'll get to this later, if you've only been drinking this beer, you're probably not that drunk. It's actually not that strong, and we'll get to that when we talk about it. But what it is. Is it's part of Mash Brewing's, they did a release of Berliner Weiss beers. It's called the Purple Stain.
That is the best tag I've ever seen.
It's a pretty cool tag. You know, so it comes with the tag on the side. It basically looks like Michael Jackson out of the Thriller video being a zombie. Like
not Prince.
I was thinking Prince. Prince
is called Purple Stain.
Good point. Yeah. Good point. That's a much better explanation of what's going on here. Yes. Yes. Well put.
That was totally worth it.
That was great. It's like we planned that.
Chore bacon, don't need to say it.
Chore bacon. Hashtag chore bacon.
Indeed.
Sorry. Okay, so this is obviously, it's a sour? I assume it's a sour?
Mm. Essentially, Berliner Weiss, yeah, sour ale.
And it is purple.
Mm.
Which is pretty cool. You don't really see too many purple beers.
It is purple, it is sour.
It did change its name to just being the love symbol for a little while. Yeah, I feel like
we should go back to someone's house and have pancakes.
Mm. Awesome. All right, what are other people saying about this?
I'm still trying to decide what I'm going to give it. I haven't been past that stage yet, so I don't know.
I'll give you a bit of a read off the tag, though. So basically, it says, we've added a whole bunch of purple, grapes, berries, cherries, and hibiscus flowers to ex-Shiraz French oak wine barrels and topped them up with our Berliner Weiss to create our very own purple drink.
Right.
Is what we're looking at.
Purple drink.
So what are people saying?
I don't know what that means.
People are saying things like...
It's not juice. There's purple drink. I'll show you a thing on YouTube.
So Martin P says it's surprisingly good for only 2.9%, which sort of gets to the point that we've raised previously, that it doesn't need to be massively alcoholic for it to be nice, right?
No.
Very nice, cool purpose colour from Liz T. Someone from Gem said, pretty flat, next to no carbonation in bottle, not sure if that's normal. Well, we can tell Gem that's not normal, as was perfectly fine.
Yeah.
Like, it was carbonated when it came out of the bottle,
yep.
So I think that's an issue. Tim C, too easy to drink, this stuff is beautiful.
Mm.
Rob D at Saman Brew, don't know where that is. Tart,
Saman.
Spritzy and dry,
and
floral
has a
berries.
Circle above it.
It does.
Yeah, easy in Sweden.
Britta G, same place, basically describing what was written on the label. That's not very well. I mean, it's interesting, but you know.
Well, what's more interesting is whether she's describing it based on having read the label, or that's her description of it as well as what's on the label.
It's a good point.
Very good point.
Sam at the Terminus Hotel.
Close it on.
Sad face. Had to get a sour after that result. This is making it better. 8th of August 2015. So the challenge during the break is for us to figure out what the sad result was.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah, so I think people are generally positive on this one. Like, I'm sort of seeing a lot of 3, 3.5. It's a 3.71 average off 98 ratings. So
okay.
That's pretty good.
Right. Paul, you find anything else interesting out there?
No, I think Jeff pretty much covered all the main ones there.
Yeah, I quite like it. I mean, it's not massively sour.
Yeah.
Like, it's got a bit of sour kick up front, and then that goes away very quickly.
Yeah, you can taste that there's... Yeah, you can taste that there's a lot of...
You can taste the purple.
...purple stuff in it.
Yeah, that's right.
It
tastes purple.
But it's actually... It's odd, really, isn't it? We've given all of the description. I mean, there's nothing bad about it whatsoever. But it's just...
There's not really anything good about it either.
Yeah.
It's not amazing.
It's a really complicated thing to review.
Yeah. I'm Christoph scaling it.
It's
3.5.
It's
like, I would drink it again, but
you'd
it's
definitely
not,
drink it again, but
there's nothing special going on, really.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I was almost about to say I wouldn't drink it again, but only would... Like, if someone gave it to me...
Yeah,
I would
that's
drink
what
it
I
again,
mean.
Which is what it means, yeah, but...
I wouldn't buy
it
again.
Exactly. Like, if I saw it at the pub and there was that and something else, you know, there'd be lots of other things I would drink instead of this. But no, fair point. I think 3.5 is fair.
All right, 3.5's all round. And we're back, and we're on to beer number 2. And beer number 2 is another one that's appeared out of nowhere. What is this?
This is the Moa Cherry Sour,
mm-hmm.
2013 vintage. So Moa, based in Marlborough, New Zealand. They are, really good. Really one of the... I say they're all my favourite, but like they're a really good Kiwi brewery. Like, you know, they are one of my favourites. They do some really good stuff there. So I saw it in Black Art and Sparrows, which is across the road earlier today, and decided, well, we should have that. Have that, given that we have the flexibility to now choose from the entire beer range because we're drinking at home rather than at the pub.
And speaking of airport beers, Air New Zealand and Wellington, Moa beers.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Nice.
Very cool.
Very good. Very good.
And I think they've also got them in. I'm pretty sure their lounge in Melbourne also has Moa beers.
That's a really nice start.
Yeah,
that's
so cool. That must be Air New Zealand.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Air New Zealand, if you're listening, which you definitely aren't.
Yes.
You have Moa beers in all your lounges.
Although, we do like Air New Zealand.
Yeah.
They're damn impressive from
we
LA.
Do.
Yeah.
Very good.
Give us flights.
Yes. Free flights to breweries.
Well, I think more and more, I think airline lounges need to have more craft beer in them. Like,
yeah,
there's no reason to not have craft beer in an airline lounge. Like,
well,
it doesn't
we
have
did
to
discuss
be...
this the other, a few episodes ago.
We did, yeah. I think it's something that people definitely need to... Anyway,
yeah.
I know,
yes.
So if we're digressing...
Before we talk about what people are saying on the beer, I just want to make that quick comment of Sam. We didn't find out what his sad face was, but looking at his Untapped history, he's been in Scandinavia for the past 3 weeks and has had a bloody awesome time. All these Scandinavian beers that I've never heard of that look awesome.
And
awesome.
Probably can't pronounce.
And he describes all his beers too, so they sound awesome as well.
Sam, if you're out there, get in touch.
Yeah, we'd love to have a chat.
Alrighty, let's talk about this beer then.
Okay, so it's a cherry sour. I mean, then that there's not actually much more to say about it. It's a cherry sour.
It's cherry sour, 5.9%. I guess you can taste the cherry.
Yep. You can't taste the 5.9% though.
It's 5.9.
No.
It's not that sour.
And I think there's an interesting thing around this because it
that the aftertaste? That's interesting.
Yeah.
The aftertaste is interesting.
Yeah, I'm not loving that aftertaste, really.
But
I had another Moa sour this afternoon, much more tart, much nicer than this one.
Okay. Well, this is obviously 2013 vintage, which means it's been aged. Do sours age? I guess all beer must age, but...
That's
a good question, I mean, and more... I think the question is more, does the aging process change the character and the taste of the beer? I guess by definition the answer is probably yes.
Maybe, sort of, kind of.
Yeah. Do sours age?
Do Ballarat bitters age? Clearly yes.
Look, nobody would have known that, and, you know, I'm probably the last person who still has cans of that original run. But anyway, what are other people saying about it?
What are other people saying about it? So you've got, who have you got? Some of you loaded up on the old screen. Here we go. Bex D at One Hunger. Not Hunger, Hunger. Sour, very sour. Even slightly salty, meh. 2.5. But then Brad J straight under that at location undefined. Refreshing. 4 stars.
Delia said, not as good as on tap at Gabs. Couldn't find the cherry.
I definitely has a cherry.
Yeah, I can find the cherry.
Bobus K, also location undefined, says saffron? !
I always ask that question.
I don't think it is, but I can understand that he's picking saffron from that aftertaste.
That's a weird aftertaste.
I see where the saffron is coming from.
I think I may have identified why we're struggling a little bit with the taste of this beer. So Nick C, at destination unknown.
Destination. We're gonna start that. We did that last week.
We did. I just had to reference it because it's a fantastic Bretty sour. I think that tells us everything that we need to know.
Brett. Fucking Brett.
That Brett yeast.
Brett.
We just don't like it.
We do not get along with that Brett yeast.
No, we don't. We don't. And I guess that's... Yeah.
I wish I understood all that. But, I mean, Brett seemed to be happening a lot more at the moment. But I don't know what it means or why it needs to. I did see one article where the rise of the Brett.
Yeah.
And it's like... It'd probably stay down.
And I think it's also why we don't generally get into the Saison style as well. Because
I really
Saison,
like Saisons.
Yeah. Well,
that's so. But I really
it's
like
interesting.
Saisons.
Well, I think a lot of Saisons do use Brett yeast strains, though. So maybe it's just that they only work in that style or something.
Well,
so
what did we have in. Was it when we were in New Zealand? We had a beer that we thought. Was it one of the Garage Project ones? We thought it was really good, and then the guy said, oh, it uses Brett yeast. We're like, really?
There was one, yes. I can't remember what it was, because that was a very long weekend.
Maybe there's a specific way to use Brett.
All right, guys, we need to finish this up. What do we think about this?
I'm giving it a straight three. I just... I can't get past that aftertaste. Yeah. It's not. It's clearly not a bad beer, but.
Yeah, yeah, I would. Yeah, I agree. I don't think I find myself going back to this anytime soon. Like, yeah, I think a 3 is fair. I'm okay with that.
I think a 3 as well.
Double unanimous.
We agree this week. What's going on?
I don't know. We need to stop doing it though.
Let's bake him.
That's fine. We're just exhausted from all the baking.
We just don't care. Alrighty, we're going to finish up there. Apologies to everyone again for the wind noise and the cutting out. We'll do what we can in post production. And hope for the best. Next week is our last episode of season 12. Obviously, we'll come back after that.
Season 2.
Did you say season 12?
Yeah.
Oh, it's been that long.
God, it's been a long week. I've been Chris Shorten. With me has been Paul Christoph.
Until next time.
And Jeffrey G.
Catch you next week.
See you later, people.